where Norwalk comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Inside, we all need the same thing.
One act of kindness in public will affect everyone around you.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
And welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today for my favorite half hour of the week with you at 203-333-9422. But of course, it depends on you. Because I know that you know of some stories where somebody was nice, where somebody was kind, where somebody did something that you witnessed or that you were the recipient of in an unexpected way that brightened your day, brightened your moment, maybe even changed your character, Maybe something that someone did that was so kind and unexpected is something that changed the course of your life. 203-333-9422. You know, there's a wonderful Broadway musical called Come From Away, and interestingly enough, they advertise if you haven't seen the Broadway show, it's a great show, but they actually advertise that it's the kindest of strangers. I've been wondering if they've been listening to our show, but it is the story. It really is an entire Broadway musical built on the kindness of strangers, because it's a story about during 9/11, when so many planes were rerouted in midair, how a bunch of them landed in Nova Scotia, and this tiny little island of Nova Scotia busied themselves getting ready for and feeding and taking care of thousands of passengers that were stranded on their way back while they were waiting to be able to get back on a plane and resume their lives, which in some cases would never be resumed quite the same way. And that's what the musical Come From Away is about. And it's a reminder to me that collectively, communities and people can be extraordinarily kind, more than philanthropic, just plain old nice to each other. 203-333-9422. There's actually a story about how most of us intuitively know that kindness makes us feel better. It doesn't only help others there. My Aunt Cookie always used to tell me that she thought that there was never anything that was truly altruistic in the sense of only done for the betterment of someone else, because even when you do something nice for someone else, you know that you're also helping yourself. So in that sense, it's not completely 100% altruistic. At 203-333-9422. But now researchers at the University of Toronto are confirming that there is a relationship between kindness and well-being. A professor named Andrew Miles, who's an associate professor of sociology, is exploring how our mental and emotional well-being during the pandemic can be safeguarded by doing nice things for other people. Even though we're living in a time with isolation and uncertainty and heightened fear, which can cause greater anxiety and depression, Professor Miles says we have to understand that there's a healing effect of being kind as well. 203-333-9422 to hear your story. I need to hear your story today. Something good. Come on. There's got to be something good that you can tell us. Dr. Miles, who is at a morality, action, and cognition lab, is collaborating with others to talk about exactly what happens and how we ourselves, if we volunteer to deliver food to the elderly, or we donate money, or we spread sand on an icy sandwalk, perfect example today, or help somebody else carry their groceries, that this alleviates our own anxiety and depression. Millie from Trumbull. Hi, Millie. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in today. Hello and good morning.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
I think this is a good story. My daughter was on her way into Quest about 7 a.m. one day last week. When she was at the door, she sees this man come running towards her. And he said, could I borrow a dollar and a quarter? He said, I'm over at the bagel place and I don't have enough money. And she said, well, I'm in a hurry. I'm late for my appointment, she said. And she said, I only have a $10 bill. And he said, well, could you give me the $10 bill and I'll come back with the change? And she's like, oh, my God, what should I do? You know. So she said, all right. She gives him the $10 bill. She goes in and has her blood taken. She comes out a little while later, and there he is standing with the change.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that is a nice story.
I just
and it
thought,
made her feel good.
Yep. It made her feel good. It made me feel good that my daughter would do something like that. But, you know.
Yeah. She would trust somebody else to be honest.
Come back, right.
And that he would be honest. And also that she gave him money for a cup of coffee and a bagel because he was starving and he needed and he didn't have any money. Yep.
That's the way I felt, She didn't know.
That's a good story.
She knew she only had the $10, but she said she gave it to him, trusting that he would come back. And he did come back. How many times do we say no, you know, when somebody wants a little bit of money?
It's true. You're right about that. That's a nice thing. And did it make her feel good? I mean, she told you about it. It must have made her feel good.
I think it did.
Yeah.
You know, I do. You know, I looked at her. I said, Laura, that was so nice of you to do that. But I love your show. Yeah. So good.
Thanks. Thanks, Millie. Thanks for call. It's a great story.
Good.
Thank you.
All right.
And that is really what we're talking about, these, you know, and I would just hearing that story makes you think, you know what? Next time somebody else asks you for a buck and a quarter and you don't have it, maybe you would do that too. And the person who received it clearly didn't want to take advantage of the act of kindness. He just wanted exactly what he said he wanted. Wasn't looking to take more money than he absolutely needed to get something in his belly. And, you know, you never know what it is with people. Some people, if they miss a meal, they get jittery. If they're diabetic, their blood sugar can go down too low. You know, he's in that medical building altogether. Some people just can't function and they find themselves short. And there are a lot of people that walk around this earth that don't have credit cards. I mean, there's a whole underground of people that function in a cash-only society because that's all they can manage. Let's go to Heike from Derby. Hi, Heike. Welcome to the show today. What is your story for us? We need a good story.
Well, it's not really a big story, Lisa. Thank you for taking my call. I was in a drive-up line at a coffee shop because the lobby was closed, and I ordered. And when it came up to me paying, the person that wanted to give me wanted to take my money, she said, the car in front of you paid for your order. And I was so surprised. I said, oh, my God. It really made me feel good.
Oh, and why do you think that was, Heike? Why do you think that happened?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Maybe she, first of all, she may have heard me because she was the car in front, and she may have heard me and seen your discount. Maybe she figured, oh, this poor senior, she doesn't have enough. I don't know what. But it made me really feel good. And I was so surprised. And so was the lady that, you know, told me that the car in front of you paid. And I wanted to follow the lady. And because I know it was a lady, she was in a Mercedes, wanted to follow her and say thank you. But she just drove off.
She drove away.
Yeah.
But she wanted to do something nice for a stranger. It meant something to her to do something nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that example. I think I need to do that for somebody today. I do. If I go out of the house, I have to do that for some. I have to. You know what? Because honestly, I really think that I get such a benefit, maybe even more than the person I'm doing it for. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's why I did this morning, actually. This goes into another one. I live in a condo, and these young men, they come and they clean up the walkway for us to get our cars because we don't have garages. So I said, I'll make him a hot chocolate and give him a little tip. So I'm running after him, and I said, can I give you a hot chocolate? And he kind of looked at me like you really didn't want to. But then he did take it, and I gave him a little tip. And
it made me feel good.
Yeah, Heike, but that's it. But that's a sustaining thing for somebody out in the cold with the, yeah. I always do the same thing. If I can run out and catch him in time, I give him like a container of blueberries in the summertime, something like that, right. You know, just because they're out there working and it's hard work and I'm not doing it. They're doing it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking too. Okay. And I love your show, all the things that you said this morning about the other thing, whatever. It's just very educational and very entertaining. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Heike. Thank you. Thank you so much. 203-333-9422. We're talking about the kindness of strangers. Wayne Winston, our regular on Wednesdays, is calling in. Wayne, do you have a story for us today?
Yeah, I think it'll be a little surprising, and it's great to be on for a moment like this, so I know there's not that much time, in case there's more callers. My mom's family was from Buffalo, New York, and my dad's family was from West Virginia. My dad was sick. This was, you know, 10 years plus, and I went down to visit him down in West Virginia. So on my way back on the highway, I'm driving back and went down by myself. And my car starts acting up. I'm like, oh, man, this is crazy. And I'm like in the hills down there, West Virginia. And if anyone knows that part of the country, I mean, there's not a lot of cars out there. It's just straight mountains. And so I'm like, let me just see if I can make it to a gas station or something. Of course, it stops. Now, I'm a black man down in West Virginia. And, man, at this point, you know, all the stories – and I'm sitting there trying to call family and, you know, up here, and there was nothing they could do. And I said, man, I hope I'm looking for a policeman now. Sure enough, a state trooper pulls up behind me, and I'm going like, oh, man, I hope this is going to be a good experience. So he comes around. He says, you know, what's wrong? I'm like, hey, you know, my car stopped running. He says, all right, I'm going to call your tow truck. And I'm like, okay. He was pretty pleasant. And I was like, you know, I appreciate, you know, your consideration. Hey, listen, you know, this is a tough time. So he calls, he says, I'm going to call a local tow truck driver. His name is Zeke. And I'm like, his name is Zeke? Okay. So I'm waiting. And about 30 minutes later, because he leaves, like 30 minutes later, the tow truck comes up. His name is Zeke. It's right on his shirt. I'm like, this is right out of a movie, man. You know, he's got the look straight out of a movie. I'm telling you, with the ruffled hair, you know, the whole thing. He's like, so he says, your car broke down, huh? I said, yeah. Well, I'm going to take you into town. He says, you know, you need to see doctor somebody. And I was like, okay, doctor who? Like, yeah, come on into town. We'll get you sorted out, my shop. So he takes me in. This is verbatim. This is the truth. He takes me into this really he's driving along, and it's getting dark now. It is now dark. I mean, it pitch dark. And I mean, you're driving on roads. You could barely see with the lights ahead of you. And I'm going like, where is this guy taking me? I mean, that was the first time I was a little nervous. Okay. And the lights finally started to see in the distance. And I'm looking on the left and the right, you know, all the worst things in the world. This is, I'm going to Klan meeting. This is, am I going to see my family again? And he turns onto a street, and we're in this town. So he pulls into the driveway, and he says, well, I already called him. You go on inside. And I'm sitting here going like, and I mean, he's got the whole country drawn down, and God bless my son and brothers, and I'm his mom and dad, same thing. And I go in, and he says, well, he's not home yet, but you go on in. His wife is in there. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not going in there with this guy. Why? Take the stuff out of the car. Go on in there because I left the car there. He has me bring stuff into the house. He brings me in, and there's this wonderful lady in there. And she's standing in there, and she's cooking. She said, you like black and catfish? I was like, yeah. We're going upstairs and put stuff away, and I picked one of the bedrooms up there. We love company.
Oh, my God.
I was saying, this is crazy. So,
oh my gosh.
I'm like, I don't want to be with this woman because I'm looking. I'm like, is your husband home yet? No, not yet. Just all right. You know, go on upstairs. Now, she looked like in her mid-50s. And I'm saying, I don't want to go upstairs in this house. You could take a shower. There's towels up there. Everything. About, wait a minute. This is this real? It was feeling so realistic. Lisa, sure enough, I went upstairs. There were towels. I didn't take a shower right away. I'm like, I'm not going to be in somebody's shower in this white lady's house and her husband coming home and I'm in the shower. I don't think that's a good look for me. So I stayed downstairs, talked a little bit. Sure enough, about 30 minutes later, a man comes in the house. Hey, honey, this is Wayne, you know. And where are you from? I said, I'm from Bridgeport, Connecticut. He says, oh, Connecticut, you a Yankee. I said, oh, yeah, I'm a Yankee. You know, and he's like, we love company. I'm sort of going like, this is crazy. He said, we're going to invite some people over. I'm not making none of this up.
We're
going to invite some people over. And he says, yeah, we love visitors. So we'll have dinner in about an hour. He said, go take a shower. Relax. I'm still kind of stressed right now. But I go upstairs, I take the shower, call my family, like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm actually, and I'm describing where I'm at. They're going like, no way. No, you can't be. Someone said, hey, my brother, like, you better get out of here. You know, I'm like, listen, man, I ain't got nowhere to go. I don't know where I'm at.
Right. Wow. It is. It's like a movie.
It is. I come downstairs. And the way their house was, there was a balcony around the living room. And so when you come down, the kitchen was a little bit off to the right. I come downstairs. There's four people there. There's two couples. We're going to have dinner. And we sit down, and they just start asking me about my life and where I'm from and the things that happened and, you know, my dad. And I'm sitting there going like, this is you could not create a movie. It felt like it was written by any number of writers.
Luckily, it wasn't that movie. You know, the movie with the, oh, my goodness, the one by the black guy that just
out.
Won all the – Get Out. Right. That's what it sounds. It sounds like Get Out. That's right.
These people are too nice, God. Man. There's something wrong. And we have the greatest conversation. It was a Latino woman with her husband. He was white, and it was a doctor and his wife, and there was a single guy that was there. And, you know, they talked about how everything had changed. And apparently he had something to do with his family founded Cooperstown up in Cooperstown, New York.
Amazing.
And I was like, wow. So he's like, you know, when people come to town, he said, yeah, Zeke's a good friend. And I'm saying, this is crazy. He says, well, I'm going to leave early in the morning. Zeke doesn't open up till later. I'm going to have my wife drive you to the shop to get your car. And I'm saying, man, that's a lot of trust, you know? And to this day, and I'll just say they owned a bookstore. They took me to the bookstore. She, it was right across another bookstore. And she was, it was such a pleasure to have you. She gave me a big hug. She tried to give me some money. I said, no, I got money. I thank you very much. Let me give you some money. No. We don't know. No. You know, Jess, you're a wonderful person. It's a great blessing meeting you. And I'm sitting there going, this is crazy.
That's amazing. That's incredible. That's a great story, Wayne.
And I get the car, and he's looking at me, and he's like, it was on sale. I got something a little bit cheaper than what you're going to buy. You don't need all that other thing. Zeke saved me money. I gave Zeke a tip.
Oh, my God.
And as I got on the road, I was saying,
wow,
there are such wonderful people in the world, Lord.
Yeah,
and I thank you so much for this experience. So when we're talking about things on the radio, it isn't that I don't understand there aren't good people out there. That experience, I already knew good people, but that you can't make up. And it was one after another after another. And there's just people out there who aren't so great. And that's what we're trying to do. Just to say, hey, just keep an eye on them because we're all the same. And that's a God's honest story. Everything was real.
That's a great story, Wayne. I got one more. Thank you. Let's go quickly to Mary from New Haven. Very quick, Mary. You got a good one for us?
I do, Lisa. I was at Charlotte, North Carolina Airport on my way home up to Bradley, coming from West Palm Beach. And while waiting to get to board on, I was sitting next to this gal who was on crutches. She was kind of a big girl, and she had in her 40s. Well, I traded my first class ticket for her coach ticket. I thought she might be more comfortable. And she was pretty grateful. I mean, she was kind of a jerk. She was kind of complaining and everything. I said, maybe I can make her life a little bit easier. And it was just from North Carolina to Bradley, so I figured, well, I'm not going to suffer that much. And so I traded it, and I gave it to her. I asked the them if I could do that, and they said yes, and they were very grateful. The airline people were so nice to me. They gave me a bottle of champagne. Well, it was Cook's champagne. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it costs about $8. It's not very good.
But so Mary, we're going to have to... Well, we're going to have to wrap it up because we're going to be cut off.
Okay, that's all it was. She was grateful.
Well, thank you.
And gave me a good sense of good feeling for a while.
Absolutely. I feel really good that you called and talked about it. It's nice to hear a good airline story once in a while.
Yeah,
we hear some lousy ones lately. Absolutely. Thank you, Mary. Thank you. Thank you, Mary, Wayne, Millie. Thank you, everybody who called in today. We had some good stories. Wayne wrote itself like a movie, but thank God a happy ending, not a bad ending. And speaking of that, I do want to go out on just a remembrance of the great Sidney Poitier, who passed at 94 years old. What a great contributor he was to American life, culture, theater, everything. And also Peter Bogdanovich. 203-333-9422 was our number. We pick up the conversation from 2 to 6 every day with Paul Pacelli. I am so happy that you joined us today. And we'll be back behind the mic on Monday for interesting, illuminating guests. You can find me during the weekend if you'd like to write me an email easily at lisa@lisawexler.com. Subscribe to our podcast on SoundCloud. Thanks for tuning in to WICZ 600 and 107.3 FM. Enjoy the snow. And maybe we'll find if